The seventh reading, the question about fasting. So as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he, that is Jesus, when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I've come to call not the righteous, but sinners." Then the disciples of John came to Jesus, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "The wedding guests cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth to an old cloak, for the patch pulls away from the cloak, and an even worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins, otherwise the skins burst, and the wine is spilled, and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved." Let us pray. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O God, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So I think I've told y'all before about the St. John's Bible and its extraordinary illumination of the Transfiguration. Now, in the St. John's Bible, that illumination is on the text in Mark's Gospel, but it applies even when we're in Matthew. Now, the illumination, which is a painting meant to help us enter into the text, the illumination does what words can't quite do. We get to see the transfigured Jesus. The image in the St. John's Bible captures that moment on the mountaintop where Elijah and Moses are there with an absolutely transfigured Jesus. Now, the characters Elijah and Moses, they're each represented pretty realistically. Their faces, their hands, their feet, they're all painted in with details that kind of look like the painting you've seen in icons. They also have, and this is like icons, they also have that circle halo thingy. You know what I'm talking about? It's called a nimbus. Nimbus is up around their head. So it's clear that Moses and Elijah are more than regular guys on the street. And then in the center of the painting, there is Jesus. And there's a clue to knowing it's him, if you don't know the story anyway. The clue is that he's got an even more special sort of a nimbus over his head. There's a gold cross in there, so you can't mistake that that central person is anyone other than Jesus. And at the same time, his face, unlike Moses and Elijah, his face is more of a sketch than a painting. And to tell you the truth, he is a ghostly, ghostly white. He's transformed into something practically otherworldly. And his clothes, rather than being painted in detail, as for the others, his clothes are a shimmer of gold and white many crosses dancing all around. The image, the illumination, is at once mysterious and absolutely clarifying. Now, for all the different ways there are to interpret the event that is the Transfiguration, the central purpose, maybe the only purpose of that event, is to reveal the truth of who Jesus is. in particular, Transfiguration, says that Jesus is not an ordinary guy on the street. He's not even an ordinary preacher or teacher. And he's not even an exalted preacher, teacher, or prophet like Moses or Elijah. Transfiguration reveals that Jesus is none other than God's own beloved one. Of this world, yes, but at the same time of an entirely different world. He's the one, friends, the one. So in the Transfiguration, Jesus is seen to be who he really is. Now, the more I sat with them, the more I felt like these 10 miracles, along with this seventh reading tucked in the middle, these two chapters worth of healing stories, they might as well be another Transfiguration text. Because altogether, these two chapters tell us who Jesus really is. Now, in this reading number 7, with all of Jesus' talk about mercy and bridegrooms, all talk about new paradigms, he seems to be suggesting to us that he's a pretty otherworldly kind of guy. Then there's all of that evidence in the other 9 readings, the ones we've heard so far and the ones we'll continue to be read to us. We'll hear about a leper cleansed, a paralyzed servant healed, a sick one's cured, anxiety stilled right along with a storm, demons exorcised, a paralytic mobilized, a dead girl enlivened, a bleeder made well. We'll hear about blind eyes open to see and a mute tongue loosened to speak. All of these miracles, in every one of them, Jesus is definitely no ordinary guy on the street, not even an exalted religious figure like Moses or Elijah. He is the one. He's that one. He's transfigured. He's seen to be who he really is. His identity absolutely revealed, there's identity for tonight, revealed for anyone who'll take a look. So while thinking about all of these healing miracles, I heard on the radio about how the COVID-19 vaccine is being developed. Anyone hear about that in the news this week? It is a wild process. I tell you, I nearly had to pull over with the car when I was hearing the radio story about it. Researchers will, quote, first turn pieces of the new coronavirus's genetic code, which is RNA, into snippets of DNA. Then these snippets will be injected into somebody's skin, where they will be taken up by the skin cells. Those skin cells will then turn DNA sequence into proteins identical to the ones that the virus would produce. And those DNA sequences will teach the immune system to recognize the new virus. Y'all, can you believe that? It is extraordinary to think how they are developing medicine these days. I'm not sure that Jesus' healing miracles have quite the same impact in 2020, when what used to be Leonard McCoy's Star Trek medicine is no longer the stuff of science fiction. We should be as bowled over by his miracles as we are by that vaccine being developed right here and now. I went on to learn about other kinds of healing stories, different kinds of healing stories in our day that might even be better at revealing who this transfigured one is. One news channel that I follow is running a series of stories called Crossing Divides. I've been nearly in tears for many of them. And as far as I can tell, I will tell you that Jesus is not overtly facilitating these boundary crossings. But I gotta tell you, these 21st century healing miracles are miracles the likes of which Jesus would be doing if I've ever heard of any. Listen to a couple of headlines. Two teenagers have a cathartic encounter with the two men jailed for an Islamist attack that killed their mom. Can you imagine that miracle? Another one, Magda, who is Jewish, and Marva, who is Palestinian and Muslim, are driving a push to rescue Egypt's Jewish heritage. Can you believe such a boundary crossing in our day? Finally, after living on California streets for a decade, Greg and Marie, African-American homeless folks in Oakland, California, Greg and Marie received a remarkable invitation when a local white businessman asked if they wanted to share his $4 million home. Is that a miracle or what, y'all? On and on, the crossing divide stories go. They are remarkable stories. They are miraculous healing stories for our day. You have an insert in your bulletin that talks about our denomination's Matthew 25 initiative. I've mentioned it a time or two. That's why we're preaching Matthew all year long this year. I'm convinced that Matthew 25 initiative invites us, calls us to live out these 21st century sorts of healing stories. Matthew 25 is an invitation to seek out the so-called last and least in our world, the ones who have no voice, the ones who are blinded to even be able to see a future for themselves, the ones whom society treats as though they are absolutely leprous, the ones in our midst who are paralyzed by poverty, even the ones bled of their last resource. We're called to reach out to the ones who are demonized in our day for their skin color. You get my drift. There's a parallel for every one of these 10 miracles we're reading about in the Bible. There is healing work to be done in our world. And this Matthew 25 initiative calls the Presbyterian Church USA to make Jesus visible and recognizable in this world as we work to eradicate systemic poverty and dismantle structural racism. The world out there can see the church as a bunch of folks sitting here for our own best interest, or we can show that world that the body of Christ is here to work miracles, absolute miracles, by healing the great divides of our time. So I'm wondering, North Raleigh, how is it that we will show the real Jesus to the world? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.